So I'm in a cab, a slightly orange cab emblazoned with the Reuters logo, and that is exactly where we're going. One of the passengers is Nick Clegg, leader of the Liberal Democrats. And may I say, it's very nice to be sat in a cab with you.
I'm enjoying this cab journey too.
We've only actually gone about 300 yards in the last 10 minutes.
Westminster's blocked up as ever.
Yeah. Westminster's behind us. And I was just in there. We were waiting for you to come out. And I was trying to get a mobile signal. It's very difficult. Trying to get a little bit of Wi-Fi. And I thought, I must remember to ask Nick what he thinks we should be doing along the whole Digital Britain side of things. How do you feel? How important is it for us to have a stronger digital culture?
Oh, it's immensely important. And the really key thing, of course, is to bring everybody along, not just those people already familiar with the technologies, already familiar with the freedom and the ability, if you like, to do new things with new technology. We've got to also get people on board who perhaps, you know, haven't used it before. And that's where it comes, you know, that's where you get down to this very difficult dilemma about how do you roll out the infrastructure. Very, very expensive in some respects. How much are you asking the industry to pay? How much are you asking the taxpayer to pay? But I think there's no doubt, if you look particularly at some of the most plugged-in economies in the world, and Korea is a classic example. You know, they made an explicit political public decision some years ago to invest in the infrastructure, and it's completely transformed the Korean economy and indeed Korean society.
To think that when we are promised 2 meg per household, they're going to be having 1,000 megabytes per household.
Yeah, I haven't been to Korea, but my brother, who actually lived there for a short while, said to me, in every store you've got terminals, locations where you can just log on. It's fantastic.
I mean, it sounds like a geek paradise. Don't tempt me anymore. I might end up moving. It's particularly important to me. I think places like Westminster would benefit. They don't necessarily have to have open Wi-Fi for, you know, people working there, because obviously there's a security issue. But wouldn't it be nice if people could be talking about the grandeur? I actually got told off for recording a bit of audio. I thought, that's not dangerous. I should have got past the point where you actually think I might be a terrorist. I'm inside now. So, you know, just let me record a bit of audio, because I was just saying, wow, this is a beautiful place to work.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think some things are changing. I mean, look, I've got a BlackBerry in my hand. So, like a lot of people, I basically work off this BlackBerry, I use it as my phone and email. It's the way I keep in touch with my team. In addition, of course, to my desktop in the office. And you are actually now allowed to look at emails and look at your BlackBerry in the chamber.
Ah.
This was revolutionary. So
wow.
there is some progress in the right direction, but as ever with Westminster, the progress is too slow. It's too glacial. It's still an institution.
We're talking here
about multimedia, but I mean, the whole expenses stuff just showed more generally that it's a place which has still got both feet stuck in the 19th century, when of course we want it to be a forward-looking, open, modern 21st century parliament.
And what's the deal with us not being able to use YouTube clips of discussions that are going on inside the Houses of Parliament? We weren't necessarily allowed to be posting stuff, just Question Time, for example. It's released under, I think it's Crown copyright or something.
Is there some copyright issue?
Yeah,
I wouldn't know, and I'm certainly not a copyright lawyer. But it seems to me, you know, the Parliament, the House of Commons, is everybody's property.
Yeah.
It's there as a tribune, as a reflection, as a Parliament for the people. And anything which gives the impression that instead Parliament is kind of looking after itself, looking after its own vested interests, rather than actually making itself the property of the people who count, people who vote in elections, is wrong in my view.
So we're probably nearing, I have no idea where we are, I live in a village in the middle of nowhere, so in fact not far away from Buckinghamshire, where you were born actually. I got on the train this morning in Milton Keynes, so we won't be too far away. So I'm going to wrap this up right now, because there are heaps and heaps and heaps of questions that are going to be pointed towards you today. Anything you particularly don't want to be asked?
Oh no, I've given up thinking I can do that ages ago.
anything goes. We've got some great questions, and I'm quite looking forward to seeing the engagement, because I think we're treading new ground here. I think it's going to be an exciting day, not just for people on my side of the kind of digital divide, when we've always gone, we need more access to people, you know, in positions of power to a certain extent, and people who will maybe making some incredibly important decisions, not just representing constituents like MPs. And we're seeing more and more MPs getting on board, and I really hope that you can lead by example today and say, let's have more one-on-ones.
Yep, absolutely. Now, if I set a precedent, and you can collar other people to do the same thing, then all power to your elbow.
Excellent. Thanks very much.
All right.